temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn.
The lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. You can pray for me. I've been a little under the weather and just fighting a cold. How many, anybody else done that this week? A couple people, yeah. But you just keep pushing. You know, I often think of this, that, you know, you'll go to work when you're sick, and you won't miss a day of work. But when it comes to church, well, you kind of have a longer list of excuses than you do for work. As far as maybe missing a day of church or missing a service, you have a longer list. So it shouldn't be that way. We should be in church no matter, that's the time we ought to come. Amen? So, well, God bless Brother John and Sister Marie, Sister Amber over there in Germany. And I think their service is probably over. They might be on their evening service. That might be over. I don't know the time difference there for them. But Brother John's so kind and calls me, and I gave my word. So we're going to, if you'll take your Bibles and you'll stand and turn to Numbers 21. And this is just, I did this at home, and it's just a real simple little Sunday school lesson. And if I could title it, it would be A Point of Contact. And so you'll leave here with something physical this morning, and you'll also leave hopefully with something spiritual that'll help you. But I was going to speak on something different, and I had that on my mind, and then last night I woke up in the night and I kind of dreamed about the service and I kind of dreamed about church and I thought, well, you know, Lord, and this came to my mind, and maybe it was because I was feeling ill, but this came to my mind, and I had spoke this at home back in 2012, I think it was, and it just, I think it helped the people. And so you just pray for me and Lord, give me strength. So we're going to turn to Numbers 21 and we're going to read verses 4-9. So thank you for putting that up there. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And give me a second here. I find that I'm getting headaches, so I think this is the cure, but I'm not sure. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Not a good thing to do. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of the of Egypt to die in the wilderness, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, you know that we need your help and even to stand here. So we pray you'd come and just guide us by your eye. And Lord, you know the people. I know them. just because we've come here a few times to fellowship with them. But Lord, you know the hearts and you know the needs of each heart that's here. So we pray you'd meet that need, Lord, and may it just even bring to remembrance something that I might not even say, Lord, in your word or that your prophet has already said that would quicken to them and they would know that you're concerned about them and that you love them and that you want to wrap your arms around them. You want to take care of them, Lord. We thank you for your angels that are encamped about us. We ask you, Lord, just to bless the words I'm about to speak, the quotes that'll come up on the screen, Lord, as the people and I read them, Lord, and as we study on this subject, a little point of contact, Lord, that it would help the people to realize that you're real and that you're just as real as we'll let you be. So we love you, Lord. Come down and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So if you'll put the first... So I did a little slideshow with this and with my quotes and with the pictures here. So that wasn't my first picture, but it's a pretty picture. But the first picture, yep, that's it. So if you'll go to slideshow up at the top left, over, right, top left. If you go to Home, Insert, Design, Transitions, Animation, Slideshow, you got it. From the beginning. There you go. Okay. So I don't know if you can dim one of these lights, but this is just a picture that shows the serpent on the pole and Moses pointing to it and telling the people if they looked on it, then they lived. But they had a look on that serpent. But what got the people in trouble was that they actually had murmured against Moses and against God. God didn't separate the two. If you murmured against the prophet, you murmured against God, it was the same thing to the people. So it came to me that we need to have respects. You go back and listen to the tape, Respects. It's a great sermon to listen to. It puts it all in perspective that, you know, I need to respect you and you need to respect me. And so we just, we see here that this here was a type. And Brother Branham brings it out on the next quote. He says here, now God, showing the type, if you'll click to the next one there. Now the first thing, the pole represented the cross, the wood. The serpent itself, being a serpent, spoke of sin already judged, for God had judged the serpent in the Garden of Eden. But the brass spoke of divine judgment, which was like the brazen laver in the days of Elijah. He looked out, and the skies looked like brass. Divine judgment over all the country, no rain, divine judgment. And notice that these people had to look or behold that brass serpent. The serpent couldn't pray for them. They had to just look and live. And it was a compound reason to take away their sin and heal their sickness. And Jesus over here speaking said, as Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, the same reason must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, if the type done the healing, what about the antitype? If the brass serpent, the shadow, done the healing, what will Christ do to look at him? So we know, if you turn over here to John 3, turn to John 3:14. And it's this is a familiar scripture. John 3:16 is familiar. This is just two before that. And we know that all sin came from what? Came from what happened in the Garden of Eden. All sin that and sickness and death all came. And Brother Bram said, because every ambulance, if you hear an ambulance scream, that came because of sin in the Garden of Eden. If you hear a baby get sick and a baby die, that came because of sin in the Garden of Eden. If you hear a home being separated and all these things, that came because of sin in the Garden of Eden and them disbelieving God's word, one word. So we know that, and this is John, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see that Moses lifted up that brass serpent in the wilderness. It was typing Jesus being lifted up on the cross. And that was a dual covenant, Brother Branham said, That was a covenant where it also took away your sin when you looked on the cross and believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior. It took away your sin, but it also took away your sickness. Because it says, if you'll turn over there to Isaiah 53:5. Wonderful. If you can just, sometimes when you get so excited, it gives you chills, you sink your teeth into something like this. If you can understand that dual covenant is that blood is still wet on the cross. So when you get sick with the flu, or you get sick with a heart attack, or you get sick with anything, or you have a need in your home, baby gets the croup or whatever it is, that dual covenant is still active and it's still applicable to us today. And just like them in Moses' time, when they looked on that serpent and looked and lived, we can look on the cross and live.
Amen.
But he was wounded. Say it with me. Wonderful. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement was of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Isn't that wonderful? It's a simple thing, but if we can just grasp that he was wounded. He took those stripes. That Roman soldier took that big spear and jammed it up there in his side for me, for when I did wrong. And if I don't accept it when I'm sick, if I don't accept it when I sin, then he did it in vain. He did that in vain. He took those stripes from that cat of nine tails when that Roman soldier, big muscles on him, raked across as fast, as hard as he could across his back. And he took those stripes. That was for your sin. That was for your sickness. That was for when you get the flu today, or you have a fever yesterday. That was for you. So we can reach out and accept it and claim it. Isn't that wonderful? If we can just grasp that he's still Jehovah Rapha, our healer. But you know, that was a dual covenant, and God made a way. He made a way from that time then, when he put the brass serpent up there, he made a way, and he put his son on the cross. And he gave his son for you and I. So, I'll just flip another picture up there. So, this next one, you know, it's the next slide. So, this is an older picture. You'll see Lincoln here. He grew about 3 feet since this picture. But this is Lincoln and Joshua, my nephew. But you'll see the snake around the pole. Okay? So when you look at an ambulance, or you look at a doctor's office, or you look at any of those things, there is a snake around a pole. Going back and testifying that God is a healer. And he's a savior. So when you see an ambulance go down the road and you hear it scream and you see that, it's screaming there, God is a healer. But you'll see that. They don't even know why that's there. So flip the next slide up there. So the next slide, Brother Branham says, I noticed your medical sign. He's talking to a physician. And the staff, you got a serpent wrapped around a pole. What does that stand for? He said, I don't know. And I said, it stands for this. It was a symbol of divine healing where Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, see? Which was only a symbol of the true Christ. Now today, medicine is a symbol of divine healing. And though many of them don't believe it, real good doctors do believe it, but some of them don't believe it, but their very emblem that they hold up testifies to the power of Almighty God.
Amen.
Whether they want to believe it or not. That's right, there's a brass serpent hanging on a pole on the medical emblem. So I just love it when you can make those doctors testify that God is a healer. Amen?
Amen.
So all healing, we know, comes from God.
Amen.
So you can cut an arm. The doctor can stitch that arm. He can set the bone. He can cut out an appendix. He can take out a brain tumor. But there is no way it would heal without God healing. So God is a healer. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
Just a simple thing that the youngest person in here can understand. Lord, you are my healer.
Amen.
You'll hear Brother Branham in prayer lines. You'll hear him say to people, and when you listen to the tapes, you'll hear him at the end. He said, now you've accepted him as your Savior. Accept him as your healer. So I believe it's an active thing we have to do, to accept the Lord as our healer. So Everything testifies. You know, they don't want to always say that God is a healer, but God is a healer. Amen. So the title kind of for me today, and what gave me the thought, was a point of contact. So in this day and age that we live in, God will send people your way as a point of contact for you to get healing. And he will also, you know, like Brother John would be here for you all, call for the elders of the church, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He's a point of contact. It's like that story of the little boy when the thunderstorm came and the lightning was flashing. And he told his mom, he said, "Mom, come on up here." And I'm paraphrasing, but you know the story. He said, "Mom, come on up here with me." She said, "Why?" She said, he said, "I want a God with skin on it." And so sometimes you need maybe a little boost of faith. So you'll call somebody, you'll ask somebody to pray for you just to help you get a boost of faith where you could have like a point of contact. It's almost like touching a battery. You know, there's current going through that battery. And when it comes into you, you're going to have a reaction when you touch it. But if you'll go to the next slide here, Brother Branham says, he says, "Now we know we're not Paul, neither Elijah, but we know that we still serve the same God."
Amen.
"And we know," and they were just men as you are, men subject to like passions. The scripture says, "as we are," and they prayed earnestly, and God respected them, and God sends someone that people can have confidence as a point of contact to contact him. We're thankful for a father like that, aren't we children, all of us? Aren't we? I am. Loving and kind, trying to do everything that lays within his power to get us to believe and accept him on his term of love. So, if you'll take your Bibles and turn over there to Acts 19. And verse 11 and 12. But we see that Paul was a point of contact for the people. And if you'll slide up one, just a couple. We're going to start at verse 11. Okay, you're at the middle of a page. Gotcha. So, I have it right here. "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs of aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." So, we know, and this is where Brother Branham will talk about a prayer cloths and how Paul, he says here, was a point of contact. And he was sent to those people in that Ephesian church age as a point of contact that they could reach out and touch Paul. You know what another one was, where they walked and the shadows, I believe it was John and Peter, I believe, I may be wrong there, but they're shadows. They went and their shadows just touched the people. They said, "Look on us," and everything's as a point of contact. So, but God has always had a witness and somebody that would be a point of contact for the people. If you'll go to the next one there, and I have another scripture here, Acts 5, 15 and 16. It's what I referred to. Yes. Okay, good. Thank you, Lord. "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." But they were a point of contact. Here it was Peter's, didn't even touch them. It was just his shadow. And so we see that that point of contact, you can go to the next quote there, people had to have faith in that point of contact. You know, when Brother Branham, when the angel of the Lord came to him and gave his commission to him. He said, if you can get the people to believe you, he said, not even cancer will stand before your prayer. So in our day and age, he was a point of contact.
Amen.
Amen? He lined out how you could be healed. And we're going to go through some real basic things here on point of contact in a minute. But like the Apostle Peter, his shadow passing over the sick never healed them. Not the shadow, but their faith in the apostle, it was their point of contact to get to God. So a point of contact, just like those people, the Israelites in the wilderness, they looked at that brass serpent and were healed. Just did this, they brought their sick for the shadow of Peter. They took from the body of Paul handkerchiefs and aprons. And in our day, Brother Branham sent out prayer cloths to people. The same thing, a point of contact. Just something physically that the people could hold on to as when they had a need. But you know, we don't worship that point of contact. Okay? Because like the Catholics, they'll have a nail. They'll have this nail that they said was, you know, in Jesus. They'll have, you know, different things, the blood, and they'll have pieces of the cross and all these things. But they're not, we don't want to worship that contact. But we want to look to that contact that God gave us. We don't want to murmur against it. We don't look to that contact that God gave us and realize that if we have faith in that contact, when we look at it, we can be healed.
Amen.
You know, the next quote there, you know, it says here, this is about little Jairus. You know, he's the one that had a daughter that was sick and died. And he said, Jairus had met him and said, Master, my little girl is laying at the point of death. Won't you come heal her? And he said, I'll go. Said, come lay hands on her. And that was his point of contact to lay hands on. The woman, her point of contact was to touch his garment. According to your faith, be it unto you. Now, I want to take two people and how they approached that point of contact. So the first one we're going to take is the Roman soldier that grabbed Jesus' beard and pulled it out. Just rip. Did he touch Jesus? Yes, he did. When the man spit on him. When the man grabbed his hand, his wrist, to pound the nails in his hands, did he touch Jesus? He did touch Jesus. But his approach was wrong. And his faith was not in his touch. But he did touch Jesus. He did touch the point of contact. What about the lady? I'll go back to the man. I wrote one other thing down here. He slapped Jesus and said, who hit you? They had him blindfolded, crossed his eyes, and said, who hit you? And they slapped him. Did that man receive anything from touching that point of contact? No, it was all in his approach. What about the lady that had a blood issue, had spent all her money on going after doctors and spent all her money trying to get healed? But she just touched the hem of his garment.
Amen.
Didn't even touch his body. And she was healed.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
But it was all in their approach to the point of contact. And if we can just grasp that it's our approach. Lord, we believe you. We accept you as our healer. We accept you as our savior. We accept you as taking our sins away. If our approach is right, he has to heal us. He has to save us. Flip to the next one there. But take Jesus as your point of contact. Brothers, see, bring him to you. Say, well, Brother Branham, if he was just here, I'd touch him. The New Testament in the book of Hebrews said, he is now a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. You can touch him right where you are. How will I know it? Just like it was then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never wrong. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? You know, it brings me back. I had a lady as a patient, and I was sitting there talking to her, and her husband did most of the talking. That sometimes happens, you know, when you have a husband and wife in there. But he was a believer. He was a Christian man, an educated, well-educated man, been to Wheaton and different things. They were like 86, 80, in their late 80s. And so I was just talking to her, And he goes, you know, that's a Welsh name, her last name. And I said, oh, I said, did you ever hear? I can spend a little longer time than the normal practitioner because I'm a student, and so I see every other patient, so I take my time a little bit more and try to find out where the person is in life, what's really wrong. Sometimes it isn't, has nothing to do with why they came. It might be the moment I'm leaving and I grab the doorknob and then they say, by the way, also this. So this lady, he said, you know, that's a Welsh name. And I said, did you know there was a Welsh revival? And I said that there was one time there was a man that he was a policeman and a bunch of preachers went over to find out about the Welsh revival. And this little policeman was swinging his baton and they asked him, where's the Welsh revival? And he said, I'm it. It's me. And so she got real teary-eyed and she looked at me and she says, my father was saved in the Welsh revival. And so I just thought, you know, I said, you know, God is just as real as we'll let him be. Amen. He is just the same yesterday, today, and forever as we'll let him be. A lot of times we don't let him be real. We don't look for him. We're not sensitive to him, and our approach isn't right. And then we miss what he's trying to do for us. So, you know, this is off of Waters of Separation. Brother Branham says, he says, I'm only your brother. He's talking to a lady. I'm just a man, just your brother. I have nothing at all that I can do to help you for just being no more than what maybe your own child or your own husband or your husband or your brother or your loved one or whatever it might be, anything. That's the only thing that I could do would be to become here just as a man. But I would be to you a point of contact to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that true? Sister says, that's true. I brought you a handkerchief for my son-in-law. Yes, all right, sir. You can give that to Billy. You give it to him. So Brother Branham was a point of contact in this lady you see in church age for us to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just like that little boy, you know, it's God with skin on it for us. But, you know, the virtue is in doing what God said to do. So this is off of the brass serpent. Brother Branham's laying hands on handkerchiefs that are on the pulpit. And that happened many times. You'll see him do that many times with in prayer lines. And when he's preaching, he'll lay hands on the handkerchiefs and pray for them right before he'll start the service. Or when the angel of the Lord would come, he'd lay hands on those handkerchiefs and pray. So I lay hands on these handkerchiefs. Thou knowest there's no virtue in any man, but the virtue, there was no virtue in the serpent, nor in the brass that it was made of, or the pole it was hanging on, but the virtue was doing what God said do. Now, what did he tell them to do? What did Moses tell them to do? He said, look and live. Amen. And this is the commission, we read it out of the Bible, that you honored the people's faith. When they took from your servant's body handkerchiefs and aprons, unclean spirits went from them. You're still God tonight, and we believe you. Amen. So the virtue was in doing what God said do. For those people in Moses' time, for those people in Jesus' time, for the people in Paul's time, in Peter's time, and in our time, it's in doing what God said do. So, you know, it comes down to us believing in God's prophet that he sent. If we don't believe that God sent a prophet in our day, and it's not vindicated in just a few minutes when you listen to a tape where he would tell you where you lived and what your address was and what you had done the day before, that was God. That was God showing himself, vindicating that what the prophet said then about the message, the Bible, all the mysteries and everything was truth. It never failed, not one time. If you'll go to the next one. So to the believer, Brother Brandon, this is off as I was with Moses, and I'm not trying to get someone to touch my clothes. There's nothing to me. But to that person that believes that I've told them the truth, it'd be something to that man. That's right. There's no virtue in the coat than there was in the brass serpent. But if your faith looks that way, that's what you ought to do. Isn't that right? You know, the one thing, there people would wait in line. I listened to one quote there where Brother Branham said that He lived in his house for 5 years and never ate a meal with the blinds open because people would know that he was home. People lined out up and down the streets, ambulances and things, because they believed that God was with that prophet. So to the believer, I believe he told us the truth. So if he gives us instructions on prayer cloths, I believe we should. It's in believing and doing what he said to do. So if you'll go to the next one here, I think Brother Oral Roberts, you know, nearly all of you have heard of Brother Oral Roberts, a very dear brother, a lovely person. His main subject is like mine, being Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His is the point of contact. And I think just a little cloth or something like that, just a point of contact, you know, just something to kind of stimulate your faith a little. So this one, the next quote, Brother Branham says, I have a couple on this, but I didn't load them all here. But in this case, he says, just in case something happens, they use them. So now we've had many things that our Lord has done for us in praying for the sick by the handkerchiefs, and we're only happy to do it. And if I happen to miss you, just write me a letter, Jeffersonville, Indiana, and request a prayer cloth, and it'll be sent to you free, and we keep them many times. And many people keep them right there in their Bible on the scripture, Acts 19. So they'll keep a prayer cloth in Acts 19 in their Bible just in case that something happens, they use them. And it's surprising at the testimonies that we get of what's happened with those handkerchiefs. It's just little tokens, but yet it's scriptural. So my dad had a four-wheeler. We were four-wheeler. He was going up a big steep hill. Happened right before I preached this in 2012 there at home. And he was taking it up through there, and he's not real experienced on driving this four-wheeler, and he flipped it back on himself. Knocked the breath out of him. Couldn't breathe. Couldn't talk. Rebecca was real, she thought he had died kind of thing, I believe. She ran and got the prayer cloth, went and we put it on him, prayed for him, took him to the hospital. He had a couple broken ribs, but that is it. Because I believe we had faith in what we were doing. We took that prayer cloth and we just laid it on him and believed. And that is just a little point of contact. But you know, the next quote here, if you want to keep it in your Bible, Brother Brown gives a number of these instances. He'll talk about a lady down in Arkansas that walked, I forget how far, after she had cut her artery on a glass that she was cleaning like a lamp kind of glass. She was cleaning it, cut her artery, wouldn't stop bleeding. She took a prayer cloth and put it on there, and it stopped her bleeding. If you want to keep it in your Bible, put it in Acts 19. And so many people have told me. One lady said, I believe her son got run over by an automobile, and he was bleeding to death from an injury from glass. So she wrote, run real quick and got this ribbon, and she lived in the country and put the little ribbon on the boy, and the blood stopped immediately, and many things like that. Excuse me. A woman in Germany paralyzed. It tells you what to do. Gather in your Christian neighbors when these cloths are put upon you over your heart. And she said that after everything had been done just the way it was, she'd been paralyzed for several years and said when she got that fulfilled, she said, Satan, now you have no more room for anything else. Get out of me. Got up out of the chair and walked away. That's simple. See, so if you would wish one, it was without cost, without price, just send and we'll send it right away. So there's another one where a sister had a baby had a club foot. She put the prayer cloth on it. The prayer cloth had gone to just ribbons. It was just threads. And she said, no, you keep it on there. She said, I don't have believing. He said, I do. Keep it on there. And the baby was healed. So just little things like that where if we'll just, you know, believe and act upon it. But this is the next one here. So what I did was I got to thinking on this, and I thought God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I wrote Voice of God, and I said, I sent them sheets. I sent them a couple sheets and bought sheets, different certain kind, and I sent them there, and I asked Brother Joseph, I asked Brother Billy Paul, and then they asked him to pray over them and send them back to me, and then my dad and my mom came over, and my dad prayed over them, and they cut them up. We cut them up in little bitty pieces like this, and so They're just this big. And we've given them out at church there when people exited after the service. And if anybody needs one today, we'll give you one when you leave. And you could keep it in Acts 19 just as a point of contact. But when Brother Branham would send out a letter about the prayer cloth to people, he would tell them, and I'll have specific instructions about what he does with the letter and how he said to keep it in Acts 19. And you'll flip to the next quote. He says, an emergency arises. And at the time you need one, well, I don't need it now, put it in your Bible and put it in Acts 19. And then I just wish that time would permit of how many things that's happened. Sometimes you take it and lay it on Acts 19 in the Bible, and if you don't have a use for it now, leave it there. So I keep one in my Bible in Acts 19. I keep a couple other things in there, maybe people I'm praying for their salvation and different things. I'll keep that in my Bible in Acts 19. He says, when emergency arises, why, just take the handkerchief, lay it on the child that's got the croup. And whatever it is, watch what takes place. It's just been marvelous what our Lord has did. The only thing it is, just a little point of contact. Now, when I send these out, it'll be a regular form letter. And if you've never seen the letter, I do have it here with me. It's a form letter that Brother Branham used to send out with those. And but here's the instructions that Brother Branham says in the form letter that he sends out. He says, place it in Acts 19. So it blessed me so when I saw kids walking out of that service there at home with their Bible open to Acts 19. Because, you know, if you can get a little child to believe that, and you know what they ask for when they get sick, when they get a fever or they get ill? You get that prayer cloth for me, Mom, and pin it on me. People call me for prayer. Lots of people call me. If people call me because I have a little bit of a, you know, medical background, might know a little bit on maybe what's going on with them physically, and they'll call me and they'll say, they got this symptom, and the first thing that I say to them is, do you have a prayer cloth on? Did you put a prayer cloth on? Get it out of Acts 19, pin it over your heart, keep it there until you're healed. Amazing miracles there we've seen at church. Just simple, childlike faith. Because why? Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So Brother Bam says, wear it over your heart. He says, believe God for your healing of your body. Be simple, be natural, be open-hearted before God. Ask God to search your heart and remedy everything that's contrary to His will. Say, Lord, I commit all my troubles and myself to Thee, and I believe Thy promise that if we commit and trust Thee, Thou wilt work, Lord. I believe Thee and praise Thee. Don't look at your feelings or your symptoms. You know, they're doing a lot, and I wasn't even going to say anything about this, but, you know, they're doing a lot with virtual reality, you know? And Abigail went up to Canada there, and Brother Paul Dirksen preached, and he has a brother that's real pretty techie, and he had the kids put on these goggles, these things that block all light out. And then he put a plank on this. This wasn't during church. This was afterwards, like a young people's thing. He put a plank on there. And then in the goggles, he had them. When you looked in the goggles, you were on top of a skyscraper. And you were walking. And you were walking on that skyscraper. You were walking on that plank on top of the skyscraper. And in virtual reality, it looked like you were there. Because this is all you could see. And there were kids screaming. And they had people hold both their arms because this plank was only, you know, on the ground. But it was a virtual reality. It wasn't real. But to them, it looked real. And it was real to them. Because they had these goggles. Has anybody worn them? Yep. Does it look real? Yeah. It looks very real. These girls were screaming. Boys were screaming. I mean, it looked real. But they were looking at something that wasn't real. And that's with us, with faith. Brother Bram says, don't look at the symptoms. He'll say a lot of times, sometimes 72 hours after you've been prayed for, he said you'll get sicker than you ever were. He said it's dying substance in your body and your body getting rid of it. But he said, don't look at the symptoms, don't look at feelings, and just believe the Lord. Amen? So if you'll come to the piano here, you know, I believe the Lord's a healer, don't you?
Amen.
And so if you'd like a prayer cloth, I'll I'll give Bethany here to hand them out at the back. And so, but if you can, when you open your Bible, put it in Acts 19. If you have a need, just pin it over your heart. And the Lord will, I believe the Lord will help you and heal you. And I believe it's our approach to Him and how we approach Him. If you have a need for healing, I believe He's our healer. If you have a need for salvation, I believe He's still a Savior. So He's wonderful, isn't He? So we know that the Lord's able. Amen? You know that one? And my voice is not very good this morning, so. He's able, He's able. I know my Lord is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, He's able. I know my Lord is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted, and He sets the captive.